How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Serving the Lord without fear. Why don't you take a look at this text? That the Lord would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So I want to talk for a moment about serving the Lord without fear. Let's start with the serving of the Lord, because this is where it really begins. This is what we do. We have been saved from serving ourselves. Let's take a look at Scripture. Corinthians, He died for all, that they which live, watch this now, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. When we were converted to Christ, we changed the object of our servitude. We were doing everything we want to do, pleasing ourselves in every manner. And that's the philosophy, by the way, of hedonism, H-E-D-O-N, hedonism, the pursuit of self-gratification. And we used to live like that, but we discovered the vanity of it. The other stupidity of having nothing greater to serve than ourselves. And so we turn to the living God. We had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises from the dead. In this scripture, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now watch this, who also hath made us able ministers. And I learned a little piece a long time ago, this thing about our efficiency is only deficiency unless we have God's sufficiency. Amen. And so we are given this kind of sufficiency and we serve the Lord. And there are certain benefits when you serve the Lord. The Lord, the Master, looks out for His servants. Scripture says that He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. So He watches out for us. That's why, you're going to see in a moment, talk about this thing about fear. He would grant us that we would serve Him without fear. Now, I did what I have done a couple of times before. I went to the internet, and I'm not going to point all these out because we would be here a long time. But, and I don't know if you can even see, but you can, I'm just going to go down the list. These are all fears that start with the letter A. And then watch, I'm just going to scroll. These are the B's. These are the C's. And these are the D's. And these are all the names of fears. There's the E's. There's the F's. A lot of them. There are the G's in that group. There are the H's. I was particularly impressed with one here. Let's see if I can see it. I don't see it there, but it's homophobia. It's the fear of sermons. I know a lot of people with that one. Then here are the I's, and here are the J's and the K's. And here are the L's, and here are the M's. I mean, the fear of music, can you imagine? Fear of mushrooms, mycophobia, the fear of the mother-in-law. Now, that's a good one. That's a good one. Pentherophobia. Here are the N's. Here are the O's. Here's a good one, the fear of odor. Bromidophobia. something like that. Here are the P's, a bunch of those. And there's the R's and the S's. Look at this. These are, wow, look at this. S is a bad one. And T's, fear of tombstones. That's interesting. And the U's, the fear of ugliness. Cacophobia, that's a good one. Yeah. The W's, wrinkles. Wrinkles, somebody saw that one. And Z. You can tell there's a lot of fears. And I only wanted to show you how long the list was. I didn't want to really get into. Some of them are really funny. Some of them are. But they're not funny. They only seem funny to me because I don't have them. In fact, it might be interesting for you to go to phobialist.com. Phobialist.com. If you'd like to look at this list, go to the index of them and read down them. And the reason I suggest you do that is not for entertainment value, so much as you might identify some of them that you have never been able to verbalize that you have and need to get rid of. When I first started down the list, I chuckled at some of them until I began to think, actually, there are people who actually have fears like this, and I shouldn't be laughing about that because, poor souls, anybody who has any kind of fear is in torment. Did you get that? Look at this verse. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment to it. God wants you to serve Him the rest of your life without torment. Does that make sense? Because fear has torment, and He wants us to live all the rest of our days before Him without fear in holiness and righteousness. I guess I can speak well on this subject, if experience means anything, because I've spent considerable parts of my life plagued with numbers of fears. My recovery from fears that I had as a young person began in a very instantaneous moment, the night that I bowed at an altar and invited Christ into my life. And when I invited Jesus into my life, first of all, I want you to know He came in. Isn't that good news? You see, it's good news. Here's what He says. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a really great scripture. Some people are afraid that they could never be accepted by God. This Jesus says, anybody comes, that's what you got to do. You got to come. That's it. And that night when I came, something came into me that's never gone out, and things went out of me that have never come back. And a number of the things that left me that night were fears that were foundational to my life. They controlled my every day. They affected school and education and my parents. They affected. I was plagued by so many fears. Nevertheless, ever since that day, At various times and sundry conditions, I have still had to deal with fears as they come along. And I got to thinking in a depressed condition one day that fear just must be one of the facts of life. That I guess I just have to live this way. And I rarely, if ever, I don't ever remember confiding in anyone my fears because I was afraid to. You know, most of us really don't possess a confidant where you can bare your soul and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. What can you help? And I want to suggest to you that, first of all, that's where the Lord wants to fit into your life. He wants to be your confidant. He wants you to bring to Him all the stuff that you're tired of dealing with. That's the meaning. That's the meaning of Scriptures that He said, for example, if you're laden, and if come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden. What is this heavy laden things? Have you ever been laden? Let me tell you something. Fear is a heavy laden. It's a heavy burden to carry. Fear about whether you were really forgiven for stuff that you did. Fear that you weren't sound mind. Heavy laden. He says, if you'll bring that to me, and He makes this offer. He makes this offer with outstretched arms. Because the introductory words are, come unto me. Come on. If you're weary and heavy laden, that I will give you rest. Rest from what? Rest from those plaguing bondages, those plaguing fears that filter into your sleep at night and bring dreams of ill repute. Negative thoughts of empty and worthlessness. And come, poor bedraggled soul, to this Master who knows how to deal with your fears. And it has been my necessary discipline, although sometimes I forget for a week or two or five that I was to do this. And those fears come back and they still fill up. And you know what? Some of them make sense that you should have them, and some of them don't make sense. And the worst thing that can happen is to get to the place where you think you deserve them. Because I did that, or I did this, or I'm not like that, or I'm just this. But if we would bring them to Jesus, and this is, let me tell you what, this is like a ray of sunshine breaking through a dark cloud for me, that Jesus wants us to live fear-free. It's God's desire for you. Let the text tonight, that we should serve Him without fear in holiness and rightness all the days of our life. It is not enough to conquer fears for 24 hours or 48. We must somehow grasp this tremendous insight that God's Word gives us, that we should live fear, are you ready for this? All the days of our lives. I have not been able, and I throw this out to you because some of you may know how to find stuff on the internet better than I do, but in Toronto, a great Christian statesman, Oswald J. Smith, I have this many books on my library shelf all written by him, great statesman, great missionary statesman. But he wrote a song that I've not been able to find, but I would give so much to find it. And it's called The Song of a Soul Set Free. I think that the Lord, our God, wants us so set free from fear that we just sing through the rest of our lives. Free. Not periodically, but all the day. So, God, remember, not given us a spirit of fear. Has not. Doesn't come from God. And I don't think any of us here want stuff that doesn't come from God. If it doesn't have the God stamp of approval on it, I don't want it. How about you? Well, there's a thought, isn't it? Before you watch a television show or a video, does it have God's stamp of approval on it? That'd be a good thing to check out. Better still, before you think a thought or meditate on an idea, does that idea have the stamp of God's approval on it? Because I tell you, great success and dynamic living in the Christian life is having come to Christ and given Him your heart, but then have your mind renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how you do that, you just sort thoughts out. Some are allowed in and some are not allowed in. And if it doesn't have the stamp of God's approval on it, don't let it come in. So fear is one of those things that does not have God's stamp of approval on it. Now, I'm going to go through some of these because I just want to enumerate what the Scriptures say here. We are to serve Him without the fear of enemies. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Enemies can be people. Enemies can be devils. Enemies can be spiritual powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Enemies can be principalities that are out to nail you. Enemies can be wrong ideas. Wrong thoughts. If they can get inside you, if the enemy, the Satan, the devil, can get you to believe a lie, false ideas, false, they are enemies. I say to you that God wants you free from the fear of every enemy. I don't know what's coming against you, but personify it. To personify something means if it's a thing, you treat it as if it were a person. And you know, Jesus taught us to do that. He said, say to this mountain, be thou removed. That's a personification, as if the mountain can hear. Speak to that thing. Tell it to go. So here we go now. Free from fear of enemies. Next one. That you should serve the Lord without fear of evil. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet, oh dear, shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I can't tell you how terrible a fear this is. Something bad is going to happen to me. That's the fear of evil. And you can live watching over your shoulder. What's going to nail me next? What's after me? The promise of Scripture is that no evil shall befall you. Isn't that good? No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. So, He wants you free from the fear of evil. He wants you free from the fear of the wicked. Wicked people. The fear of the wicked shall come upon him. Now watch this. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now, let me tell you a scripture that I think a lot of people are afraid of. And I go to the book of Job, where he said, "The thing that I feared came upon me." Remember that scripture? And so it has produced a lot of fear. Well, in fact, I think I got it coming up. It's the fear of fear itself. That verse is exactly what Job said. It was a testimony because he had a fear that did happen to him. But people have taken that text from its mere testimonial state to call it an act of principle that says that anything you fear is going to happen to you. That is not true. The desire of the righteous shall be fulfilled. The fear of the wicked shall come upon the wicked. Wicked people who fear things probably are going to have the wicked thing or the fearful thing come upon them. But that testimony of Job does not a principle that like the scripture of sowing and reaping. And so I want you to get rid of the fear of fear. Serving without the fear of man. Look at this. The fear of man brings a snare. What will people think of me? That is the fear of man. That's why so many are concerned about their reputation. And they're fearful what people are going to say about them, what people are going to think about them. Fear of man brings a snare. How does it bring a snare? Because when you fear what people might think about you, you will not treat them, speak to them, or communicate with them, or have a relationship with them based on reality, but on your fear instead. You cannot be authentic. You can't talk to somebody and give you a real opinion. You've got to figure out, first of all, in your mind, if I say that, will they accept me? So everything you say and do becomes artificial. So if you're going to the workplace or place of education, college, the opinion of the mob twists and shapes you if you have the fear of man. So God says, I want you to have that, because it brings a snare. But if you'll trust in me, you will be safe. Safe from what? Safe from the fear of man. And then he wants us to serve him without the fear of death. And when you get sick, you start thinking about this. Get enough pain in your body, you start thinking about this. But he wants to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Of course, this is referring to the Jewish people in Egypt. But it applies to us too. Because if you have this fear, you're subject to bondage. And then there's the fear of judgment. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. Now, it seems to me that modern Christianity in America needs some preaching about judgment. America needs to be warned about pending judgment. We have several men of God who have been greatly vocal about it, David Wilkerson being the first one that comes to my mind. He wrote the book called Set the Trumpet to Thy Lips, another book on the vision and destruction of America. And true preachers of the Word of God have to warn generations of people of pending judgment. And that should occur. But when you sit here, if I were to preach a sermon on the judgment, something should be clicking in you, in your mind, with the realization that you shouldn't have any fear about this. This is not on you. It's going to come on the wicked. Judgment may come to America, but you do not need to be afraid of it. Look at this. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes, because it isn't coming after you, it's coming for those for whom it's intended. So, just because judgment's coming, you shouldn't live in the fear of it. You should serve the Lord without fear of the evil majority. It's incidental to this that yesterday Dr. Jerry Falwell graduated. A great man, without a doubt. We need a couple more Jerry Falwells right now. And he began a tremendous movement in America called the Moral Majority. The Moral Majority. It was a powerful force. We're in bad shape right now, but if we had not had the influence of Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority, we'd be a lot worse off than we are. It was a hindering power. It was a dynamic spiritual force. It was an arousing of Christians to take a stand and do something about it. We need his voice again. However, it's incidental, by the way, that I use this term moral, the immoral, or the evil majority. Because you could be and are and could feel at least surrounded by evil on every hand. There are days my wife and I sit and talk at the house after the long day and we've heard a bit of news and we have quoted this scripture to one another, the whole world lies in wickedness. It is just so widespread. But square your shoulders, saints of God. Look, listen to the testimony, David. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me, and even if they're round about me. If you hold a position, any position that has any bit of godliness in it, you're going to be surrounded by the naysayers. You're going to be surrounded by enemies who are going to pick you apart, mock you, make fun. It goes with the territory. But it doesn't matter if there are 10,000 of them circling you. God doesn't want you afraid of them. Listen to every homeschool father for a moment. There are going to be people after you because you're not marching to the to the rhythm. You're not in step with the world, with the educational system or the government schools or the filth that's being spewed upon the students of the of America by godless, unfearing of God, wicked, evil, plotting, scheming men. And you have stepped out of the parade. And you have taken a stand with your wife. They will not have our children. And any time you get out of a culture such as we're in here, a social grouping here, even in Christendom, you will have 10,000 against you. And so I commend every one of you, because I'm sure you've had to get over the fear. If there are 10,000 against me, this is the right thing, I'm going to do it. And we have learned, if it be right, we should do it boldly, and if it's wrong, we should leave it undone. But you have chosen what is right and are doing it boldly, serving the Lord without the fear of the evil majority. Serving the Lord without the fear of bad news. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart's established, and he shall not be afraid. I got a letter from the IRS this week. Now, normally, that'd be the first piece of mail I opened. And looking at the IRS return address on there and knowing that it was not that was written to me and not a marketing sent to everybody kind of a thing, you can tell that, you know that, right? Because maybe I haven't conquered all my fears yet, but I sure gotten over the IRS. An hour or so later, I thought, well, I'd better look at this. And they threatened me with penalties. I know that. It wouldn't matter if it was or not. Yeah, it's already straightened out. What? You know, you can live where you expect bad news. I get a letter from the IRS, so I hope it's a big refund or something like that. What do you expect? Are you expecting bad news? I'm telling you, this is a fear that torments. But look at the scripture. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Even if the tidings are evil, you're not afraid of it. Because we serve the Lord without fear. Well, let's keep it. Let me see. I fear I might not get done in time here. You know I'm not afraid of that at all, aren't you? Be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't be afraid of fear itself. And don't be afraid when you see the desolation of the wicked. Here's why. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Huh? Yeah. Nobody can trip you. Remember that scripture about the watchman guarding the city? But except the Lord keep watch. God intends in the union and the communion that you have with him to let nobody trip you unexpectedly. He intends to keep your feet, your foot from being moved, from having it taken out from under you, to prevent you from falling flat on your face. My, how wonderful it is that he has designated that we should serve him without fear. Without fear of the opinions of others. Look at this. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in his heart is my law. Look at this now. Watch this now. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Look at this. Neither be afraid of their revilings. Don't let those mockers revile you, or the revilers. Don't fear them. Let's look at another verse about that. Ezekiel, thou son of man, be not afraid of them. Look at this now, look at this. Neither be afraid of their words. Now, you know that words have power. You know that the power of death and life is in the tongue, right? You know that words are a force, either to destroy or to give life. But you do not need to be afraid of the words that evil people might speak about you or over you. The scripture comes to my mind, and it's so wonderful. I think it applies here. Let me tell you what it is. Do you remember that scripture, I think it's in Proverbs, that a curse causeless will not light. Okay, the word light is as a bird lighting, landing, right? A curse causeless cannot land on you. And this is true of those who would speak evil over you. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be afraid of their words. Even though there's briars and thorns with you, and you dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words. And don't be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Don't be afraid of faces. Be not afraid of their faces. Oh my. This is one fear that in the main I have conquered. I guess I conquered this actually at an early age. After graduating from seminary, I started going to home mission churches, churches that couldn't afford an evangelist or speaker, and I would go there free and just get whatever they gave me, and it was wonderful. The Lord supplied my need. I did that for 3 years. And then one summer, I got 12 young people who were in college to spend 3 months with me. And I built a hand. Can you imagine? I did the stock. You would be proud of me back then. I made my own trailer, bought the axles, bought the wheels, bought the steel, and had a guy weld it for me. And I built this trailer. And it was one of those full downside walls into a stage. I felt like God, or Noah must have felt like when God said, build me an ark. I talked to one guy at one church. I told him I was going to do it. He said, what kind of steel are you going to use? Well, you know, steel. What tensile strength? I said, what's tensile strength? Anyhow, built it. For 3 months, these 12 young people, and I set up in beaches, parks, army camps, tourist areas, main streets. I mean, I could tell you stories. I have probably told you 3 or 4 or 5 stories. I have 150 stories of preaching in the most unlikely environments and with the most hostile people in front of me. I had to get over that fear early. It helped me later on, because it was a day when I used to preach at youth conventions with 3,000 kids, teenagers at it. Don't fear their faces. When I sit in the counseling room with anybody, let me tell you something. I don't have a fear. I don't fear their face. And it may not seem very important to you, but I preach here. And if you could see what some of you look like, some of you could scare. I have people openly in this audience who, if they don't like something I'm saying, show it demonstratively. John just gave me the nothing that nice. Get over the fear of the faces. For I am with thee. And not one, no, you don't need anything else, you see. No, I'm excited about this one because this is the one I really... And he touched my mouth. The Lord stretched his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord says, I have put my words in thy mouth. But that does not work if you have the fear of faces. Because the fear of faces will control what you say. Yeah, got to keep going here. Without the fear of trouble. Are we at the bottom of that page yet? If you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled about the terror or the trouble that they bring to you. Serving the Lord without fear. Well, let me close with four keys that are found in this text that help you serve the Lord without fear. Let's look at the text. That he would grant to us. Here's the first one. That we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. That is the first one. To be delivered out of the hands of all your enemies. And the fact of the matter is that if you could, if you had a funnel, or if you had a hierarchy of all your enemies, though there is one enemy behind all your enemies that make them your enemies. It is the enemy, the devil himself. Satan and evil spirits. And I tell you so happily, the great news, the gospel is that Jesus comes to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. Listen to me now, because let me tell you where the fears come from. In the book of Revelation, we understand that Satan is called, are you ready? The accuser of the brothers, the born-agains. He is the accuser of it, and it is those accusations from him that cause most of our fears. I don't think you got it. You got to understand this. That he is your accuser. He is the one with the pointed finger. He is the condemner. And fears spawn out of his accusations against you. He's your enemy. He is the accuser. And when you get accused by him, yeah, the curve's right here between your ears. When you get accused by him, it breeds all kinds of fears. So the first thing about being able to serve the Lord without fear is to be delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus defeated you at Calvary. Is that right? But he also defeated Satan. He also defeated Satan in your life. Satan, sin, Satan shall no longer have dominion over you. He hadn't gotten you. You aren't his territory anymore. You're holy ground now. There isn't anything Satan can do because you've been delivered from him. We have moved from the kingdom of Satan unto the kingdom of God. From the, you're right, kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. You have been transitioned. We have no place in your life anymore. And so Kay needs to teach you a song. And you can catch her in rare moments prancing around here like a somebody crazy in love with God and singing, I've been delivered. I don't know how she, I don't know. She jiggles when she does it. Oh, praise the Lord. Is that how it goes? I've been delivered. Well, tell us the rest of it, okay? Louder. Come on. Stand up on your feet and show us your stuff, girl. Sure. Yes. Amen. Right. Hey, man, you didn't know you were going to sue a soul tonight. You need to be singing songs like that. You need to remind yourself of what Jesus has done in your life. Because if you forget it, you give access to the accuser. And those fears spin off of him. They spew from him. They get on you. They're like slime. They stick. And you can get in a rut, in a routine where fear starts running your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Been delivered. Second thing. One, we're delivered out of the hand of enemies, but we serve them without fear in holiness. Now watch this, in holiness and righteousness. But there's a difference between holiness and righteousness. Let me show you what it is. Holiness is walking like God walks, living like God lives. Righteousness is doing what is right. And it's fun. Hallelujah. I serve the Lord without fear, in holiness. But what does it mean to be holy, except to love like God loves? Just agape stuff talking about on Sunday. You know why? There is no fear in love. For love casts out fear, because fear has torment. That verse we looked at moments ago, 1 John. Love casts out fear. So I want you delivered from the hand of the enemy to serve me without fear in holiness and in righteousness. And I'm telling you that if you live love, you won't have fear. And if you live doing what's right, you won't have fear. You see, those who don't do what's right, listen to what the Scripture says about them. The evil flees when no man's pursuing him. That's a fear. You think something's after you, it's not. Because unrighteous living produces that. So the third key here is, first of all, being delivered. Secondly, to live in holiness, God-like, by the law of love, and doing what's right. And lastly, look at the Scripture. We do this before him. After all, that's what we really are. Not what we do before others, but what we do before him. Whether anybody's looking and I get kudos for being right, doing right, it's irrelevant. We walk before him. One more verse. In fact, I think I put it on the screen. I want you to catch the flavor of this. Who art thou that judges another? Let me rephrase this and just change the personhood. Watch this now. Who is he that judges you, a servant of Jesus? To your own master you stand or fall. And he is able to hold you up and make you stand. Serving the Lord, fear-free, in the name of Jesus. Will you say amen?
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.